we're back in the life of Moses, and as we've been thinking about that, we've been imagining interviewing him if we could, and the questions that we might want to ask him. And some of them are these. Moses, what's it like when you're faced with making choices? He made a very good choice, and then it was followed by bad ones, and that's sometimes the way we are too, isn't it? Moses, what's it like to be out of your comfort zone? Moses, what was it like to have a personal encounter with God? That was an amazing study that week. And Moses, what's it like to have your faithfulness rewarded with a setback? It's not easy serving the Lord. And sometimes whenever we've done all that we should and could, we're faced with a setback. How do we deal with that? Moses, what was it like to stand alone? And we've been there too, some of us. And also, Moses, what was it like to wrestle with ranks of evil? Moses, what was it like to be still while under immense pressure? And that was, of course, as they stood facing the Red Sea. Well, today, this is question number 16. We're going to ask this question. You see, when we think of all those others, they were challenges in life, really, weren't they? We were asking Moses, what was it like to have to deal with the stuff that this world and the enemy and life in general throws at us? But today, it's refreshing that we can ask another question. Moses, what was it like to rejoice in the Lord? And maybe you're here today and remember, this is number 16. So there's been a lot of dark days. Been a lot of difficult days in Moses' experience. A lot of very trying times. And we haven't had many periods of rejoicing. Doesn't that speak to us already? But here's the thing I want us to get. If you switch off and don't hear anything else after this, get this. Rejoicing days do come. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Mightn't be today for you. That's understandable for some. But rejoicing days do come. It's not all doom and gloom. But there are many times when it certainly feels like that. Do you remember the very first prophecy and promise that was given regarding the period we've just been talking about, coming out of Egypt, the Exodus? And way back in Genesis 15, we read, God said to Abram, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will also judge that nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions." So from hard oppression to many possessions. From difficulty to reasons to rejoice. David picks up on that when he writes the 13th Psalm. The first verse says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" It wasn't that God had forgotten, it's just that that's how he felt. But then verse 6 of the same Psalm says this, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath dealt bountifully with me." You see it? Began in this awful plight, and it ends with rejoicing. The same of Psalm 42. Verse 3 says, "My tears have been my meat day and night." But then verse 11 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Oh, you can just think back as we looked at those plagues, plague after plague after plague, judgment after judgment after judgment. And every time Moses had to go back in and face Pharaoh, and Pharaoh obviously wasn't too happy. That whole episode, from Moses' arrival in Egypt again with his brother Aaron by his side until they crossed the waters of the Red Sea was a real test of his faith and his nerve. But now we find him on the other side of the Red Sea, and as I thought about that after we had done our last talk, I just felt, even in myself, he must have had a great sigh of relief. He must have thought, now we've made this and we've come through these waters and Pharaoh's armies have been destroyed, we can really put that past behind us and rejoice in the Lord. Moses could say to himself, they're out. That prophecy that was made so long ago has come to pass. They're out. Not only that, also in that prophecy, God was to judge the Egyptians. God has done it. And also in that was a little detail, they would come out with many possessions, and they have. Moses had reasons to rejoice. That point in history called the Exodus, coming out, it's so important that we find it referred to over and over and over again in the Word of God, Old and New Testaments. It's as if God is saying, I never want you to forget this. Not only is it done yearly in the Passover, as we have studied, but in many other places the Exodus is mentioned. For example, when they come eventually to have the Ten Commandments, we read in Exodus 20, and God spake all these words saying, I am the Lord your God. Doesn't stop there. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Out of the house of bondage. So here it's referred to again in relation to obedience. We think today of what we've just been chatting to the boys and girls about, breaking God's commands and being guilty. We can't point the finger at anybody else. It's me. And who is it we're offending? It's the God who so mightily and powerfully brought his people out of Egypt. The God who loved them enough to remember his covenant with them and to savingly deliver them. We read it mentioned again, these are only a few of the references, Deuteronomy 6 and 12. Beware lest you forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. So here we find it's referred to again, but it's a warning. God didn't forget you. Don't forget him. We read it again, Psalm 77 from verse 13. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders and hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So here we find it referred to, but this time with regard to praise. There's been a real note of praise in our singing this morning, hasn't there? Glory be to God the Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Then Exodus 32 and 11, Moses besought the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? So Moses is referring to it in relation to his intercession before God. And he's actually reminding God also of what he has done and his care for his people as he intercedes for them and prays for them. And then Joshua mentions this in the end of that great book. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know when they said that? When he himself was facing death. And he was trying to encourage the people that he would leave behind. So in all these different situations, different uses, this period is referred to because it contains so much. Songs are memorable. Whenever we were in the playground at school, somebody, inevitably at some point in the year, it was usually girls, they would start annoying all the boys and they would keep doing this. I know a song that'll get on your nerves, get on your nerves, get on your nerves. I know a song that'll get on your nerves, get on your nerves. Do you know that one? And they just kept going. I know a song that'll get on your nerves. And it did get on your nerves, but you know what else? It got in here. And I find myself thinking of that tune many a time. I know a song, and maybe it's usually when somebody's got on my nerves. I know a song that'll get in your nerves. And if you go to the advertising industry, it's not just an ad. It's very important that there's a, as they call it, a jingle. And we think of many of them. I can still remember way back when I was at primary school, a finger of fudge is just enough. And I could sing it, but I'll not bother breaking any glass here today. But songs are memorable. Do you know proof of that? You go to a nursing home. You know what I'm going to say? And you go in and take a wee service. And you start to sing Jesus Loves Me. And you'll find every older person there who maybe can't remember what they did that morning. They maybe don't remember the name of their loved ones. But they'll remember that little song. Songs are memorable. And I think that's one of the reasons we find so much of the Word of God in songs. Because they were songs to be sung. When it says a song or a psalm, it was intended to be sung. It wasn't just a scripture that we can pore over. There would be times when Israel would have an identity crisis. And they'd be asking themselves, who are we, this Israel? And that wee song might come to their minds. We are the people that were redeemed by a mighty hand. Or the question might come to Israel, who is God? He's the God that brought you out of Egypt. The patriarch Abraham becomes a father. Thought it would never happen. His son Isaac becomes a father. His son Jacob becomes the father of 12 sons. But it's still just a family. Even though that is the beginning of Israel, Jacob's name is changed to Israel, his sons are the children of Israel initially, it's still only a family. And it's that family that go down into Egypt. But God had made a promise way back to Abraham that he would make of them a mighty nation. And something we can't forget is that those who came out of Egypt were a nation. But they were a nation who had been totally and entirely under the control of the Egyptians. They had never stood on their own two feet. They had never known their real identity. And now that day has arrived. They're going to begin walking with God, or they should walk with God. They need a new identity as a people in their own right. And Moses gives them something to remember. At this point, right at the start, and it's a song. It's amazing how when we read about things that come to an end in the Revelation, they're still singing. That's wonderful, isn't it? And they're still singing, unto him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, to him be the glory. This unknown people group, the Egyptians knew they were there, but you think of the surrounding nations. This sudden bunch of people out in the wilderness, they wouldn't have been too scared of them. They wouldn't have taken them much under their notice. It could just be like one of, sadly, those migrant camps that we see with those awful conditions in different places today. That's just what they'd have looked like, in the middle of the wilderness. And just like today, not too many would have been caring. are taking much notice. They would have had a song ringing in their ears. God cares for us. God redeemed us with a mighty hand. God brought us out of Egypt. What a mighty God we serve. You see, they were redeemed, set free. Now they're beginning to walk by faith. You know, today, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a new identity. Christian, Christ's ones. You ever thought about having that description and thinking, do I live up to that? I'm one of his. Believer. Believer in what? Believer in Jesus. I'm saved. Saved from what? Saved from destruction. Saved out of bondage. Saved by an outstretched hand. In fact, we could say saved by two outstretched hands, couldn't we? I'm redeemed. And as these people could say they're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, so are we. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. What a wonderful day. Exodus 14 and 30. Thus, or in this way, the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. They were able to put it behind them. But that wasn't all. They were able now to rejoice. Was Moses tempted, do you think, to assume the position of king of this new nation? Sure, that's what he would have seen all around him. Was he going to get to organizing the multitude into some kind of society? No. He stops to praise the Lord. That reminds me of the story of Abraham's servant who had been commissioned by him to go and to find a wife for Isaac. If you're planning to go and find me a wife, have a wee chat with me beforehand. And he went on a wee bit of an adventure. And at every turn and twist in the story, he stops to pray to the Lord. But that wasn't all. In Genesis 24:48, this is what Abraham's servant says. I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord, which had led me in the right way. I love that. Because he leads us, he guides us, he's with us, he feeds us, he instructs us, he teaches us, if we let him. But how often do we just simply worship him? We can so easily, in our quiet time, dive into the Word of God, and we're just devouring it to see if there's a word for us. Not a bad practice. But what about just, on some occasions, just worshipping? He took time to worship. Moses had many stops in his life, and we've looked at loads of them. He said some about turns. But here it's a good stop. Here he stops to praise the Lord. Tuesday night we were thinking about the weekly prescription for good spiritual and physical health, and it's just a simple thing called the Sabbath day, a one day in seven. And it's a time to stop, isn't it, and to recharge and to get rid of the electronic noise we choose to, and to just let the Lord help us. But it's also a great opportunity, isn't it, to praise the Lord, and we've been doing that today. Moses, what was it like to rejoice in the Lord? Well, here's the song. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is as a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou settest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, the flood stood upright as a heap. The depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my lust shall be satisfied upon them, I will draw out my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swalloweth them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold in the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the jerks of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as dust and as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign for ever and ever. Notice the lyrics of that song. It's all about the Lord. Glory be to God the Father, we sang earlier. Glory be to God the Son, glory be to God the Spirit. It's all about the Lord. 10 times in 18 verses, Moses in the original uses the name of Yahweh. On 25 further occasions, he uses the pronouns he, him, his, you, and your in relation to Yahweh. And Moses keeps I out of it, except to say, I will sing unto the Lord. I will exalt him. You see, Moses isn't interested in self-exaltation, the great blight of today's evangelicalism. But Moses is interested in God exaltation. Remember the last verse in Exodus 14? And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. I mean, Moses could have been very puffed up at that stage. He sees a real turnaround in the attitude of the people. They have witnessed all of these plagues and all of these wonders, and they have seen the Red Sea parted and now they're on the other side safely, and they've seen Pharaoh's armies destroyed, and they are not only believing God in a way that they hadn't done so previously, but they're also believing Moses. That's an interesting little phrase. They're also, by association, believing Moses. And Moses could have been puffed up. Here's a leader, and he has a vast company of people, and he has them in a good place. They're now believing. What Christian leader wouldn't want to have a multitude of people like that? And not only that, they were eating out of his hand on this occasion. And we'll soon see that changes. but he doesn't get puffed up. There's a lesson. At that moment, everything is just as any leader would want it to be, and Moses could have been puffed up, but he says, I exalt the Lord. That's wonderful. These are the things for which the people of God will stand rewarded one day. Not just vast numbers, but for their attitude and their reaction to the blessings that God gives. And he wants Israel to join with him in praising the name of the Lord. We sing Blessed Assurance, and the chorus goes, this is my story, this is my song. What? Praising my Saviour all the day long. Not praising me. Psalm 92 verse 4, we read, for you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the work of your hands. Remember, not that long ago, we had a series on great expectations that was the fruit of the Spirit. And love is followed immediately by joy. Joy that is given to us by the work of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, joy that we can know and experience and can cause us to reach out and praise to God even when circumstances dictate otherwise. Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Because sometimes it's not easy to sing. And that's when we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that was something Corrie ten Boom discovered in the concentration camps of the Second World War, that she could sing in that situation. Well, surely you and I, by the power of the Spirit, can also sing in the shadows. Moses, what was it like to rejoice in the Lord? Well, he was only given God what God deserved. He wasn't rejoicing in an easy life, because an easy road can quickly change. Any of you have ever done a wee bit of hiking or trekking, you'll soon discover that. Suddenly it can become very steep. Suddenly it can become very slippery, unsafe, narrow. Things change on the path. But here's something. If we were only praising God for easy roads, there would be many times when we wouldn't praise him. But the fact is this, God is with us on every road and he never changes. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus is described by the writer of the Hebrews as unchanging in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And that means the Lord is always worthy to be praised. There's a certain victory in praising the Lord when you don't feel like it. I've proved that. Have you? It's been a struggle. The temptation would be no. But as you do, something happens. He is worthy to be praised all the time. Well, what have we in the lyrics of this psalm? The Lord and the singer. The Lord is my strength. Maybe you're here today and you sang along with us, but you don't have the personal relationship with God that you must have before you leave this world. And you've been singing as we have sung together, but if you were singing the Lord is my strength, you couldn't sing it with meaning, because if you do not belong to him, you can't say that of a truth. The Lord has become my salvation. How can anybody here sing that if they're not saved? Reminds me of the words of Isaiah 12. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. The Lord and the singer. It's personal. The Lord and his people. Corporately, collectively. Verse 13. The people which you have redeemed. Verse 16. Thy people. Until the people pass over which you have purchased. A redeemed people, a purchased people. Then they become his people. And we today who are redeemed and purchased and delivered and set free and no longer in bondage to sin, we're his. You're welcome to come to this table today if you're his. Oh, what a caring God we have. If he's the God who can call us his people, and he has purchased us and has redeemed us, and we belong to him, then he will look after us. He will truly be the shepherd. He will truly be the father. What lovely terms. The Lord and his people. The Lord and his enemies is in this song. Verse 7, the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Verse 9, and the enemy said, this is interesting. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, I will destroy them. Four I wills of the enemy. That reminds me of the book of Isaiah chapter 14 and the I wills of Satan. He would exalt, I will exalt myself above the Most High. I will do that. I will. And it's in that very same passage that we read that he was brought down. Oh, he's a very real foe. And he's still very powerful today. But we have one who's mightier than the enemy behind all enemies. Satan. One day will be cast into the bottomless pit. And it'll only take one angel to chain him. Praise the Lord. Psalm 124 verse 2 says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quickly when their wrath was kindled against us. You see, our enemies are also God's enemies. Take that on board, believer. If you have an enemy today and they're coming against you and you're persecuted, you're oppressed, remember this, they're also God's enemies. And this is the song that tells us what God can do with all enemies. Praise his name. How does God picture them? The end of verse 5, like a stone sinking to the bottom of the sea. The end of verse 7, like combustible stubble. The end of verse 10, like lead in deep water. You know what that tells us? Three times it's emphasized. They're gone, they're gone, they're gone. Wouldn't it be a wonderful day when we're in glory? And all these enemies are gone. There'll come a day, you know, when the great men in this world, the great captains, the mighty men, and they'll be crying out for the rocks to fall on them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. God and his enemies. The Lord in creation is able to use the depths. He's able to just give a blast of wind, like a breath really, and the waters gather together. He is Lord of his creation. Jesus was Lord too, as God. In Matthew 8, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the sea, he calms it. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Because in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is Lord. Creation's voice proclaims it. But not only that, there is in this song, in this psalm, the Lord himself. Verse 11, there's a phrase, he has triumphed gloriously. It means in the original, he is exceedingly exalted. And another way of putting it is, he is gloriously glorified. I love that. Hard to say if you haven't your teeth in. Exceedingly exalted and gloriously glorified. You know what that just says to me? We really can't find the words, can we, to praise God? And that's why the question is asked, who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. The name of the Lord shall reign forever and ever, verse 18. Pharaohs, there were many of them, dynasties of them, they came and went, and we're still digging them up today. Dead, gone. Kings of other great superpowers came and went. And those that are on the earth today, same old thing will happen to them. They'll come and they'll go. But the name of the Lord shall endure forever. Oh, Moses, what was it like to rejoice the Lord? He couldn't help it. How can I not rejoice in the Lord? And rejoicing is infectious, or it should be infectious today. Because in 15 and 1, we read, then sang Moses and the children of Israel. He had them on board. But then in verse 20 and 21, Moses' sister Miriam joins in and she gets the other ladies on board. Now I'm sure that was a sight to behold, because you remember Miriam was older than Moses and she was able to sort things out with Pharaoh's daughter whenever he was in the little casket in the bulrushes. So she was responsible enough at that stage. And Moses was 80. By the time he started all of this program. So let's be kind to her and put her at 90. I'd love to have seen her dancing with a tambourine at 90. But she had so much to praise the Lord for, hadn't she? When I think of those trio of parables, the lost things, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, what do we read at the end of each of the parables? The lost thing was found, yes. But then what happened? In all three cases, there was rejoicing. And the reference is made, there will be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. And rejoicing's infectious because it's not just God, it's not just the sinner. It's not just the sinner's family. The very angels rejoice. Can you think of the night that you were saved, or the day, or the morning? Or it could be this morning for somebody. Do you know something? This church would rejoice. Do you know something else? God would rejoice. Do you know something else? Unseen by us, the angels of heaven would be rejoicing. What a wonderful thing. Reasons to be joyful. Are you rejoicing in the Lord today? Well, if you can't today, and we understand it mightn't be your time, there will come a day when you will rejoice. May the Lord lift our hearts for his name's sake.